بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، we continue discussing the benefits with regards to the hadith of Abdullah bin Umar رضي الله عنهما. And he mentioned that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said that if one of your women seeks permission from you to go to the masjid, then you should not prohibit her. In this hadith, we have discussed the benefits with regards to this narration and its relationship with regards to this chapter, the chapter of Fadl al-Jama'ah wa Wujubuha, the chapter with regards to the virtue of the congregational prayer and its obligation, and that the women, they are allowed to go to the congregational prayer in the masjid and pray if they meet the requirements that have preceded. And in this narration, the author, he mentioned one of the wordings that is found in Sahih Muslim, and it was the event that occurred with Bilal ibn Abdullah. And the one who is narrating this is Salim ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anil jami'. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhumah, he had sons from them, Bilal and Salim. In this particular narration, because of the situation and the circumstance of the people, of the women particularly in that day, how they were not leaving their homes properly, and this was something that was known. Whenever Bilal, he heard this narration, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said, wallahi, we will stop them. In one narration, he said, sa'amna ahli, I'm going to stop my family. And he said, whoever from you likes, you can let his family go. He said, I'm going to stop my family. So what was apparent from his statement was that he was blatantly and boldly opposing the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Although what he was speaking from was based upon the situation of the women in that day. And we've seen that even Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentioned something similar like that. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had seen the women today, then he would prohibit them. But the issue is the manner that Bilal, he mentioned this without presenting an excuse and without presenting this issue in the proper manner. And what was apparent from his speech is that he was boldly opposing the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and disrespecting the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what occurred, and that was that his father Abdullah akbar alaihi fasabbahu sabban sayyi'ah, that his father, he approached him and he cursed him out in a bad manner. And Salim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, مَا سَمِعْتُهُ سَبُهُ مِثْلَهُ قَطْ, I never heard him curse at him like this ever in my life. And the issue that we benefit from this is that we see that the sunnah, it must be honored, and the hadith, it must be respected, and that the one who opposes the sunnah, he should be disciplined, and that the Salaf, they were diligent with regards to this. And they would reprimand the people who blatantly and apparently oppose the sunnah upon knowledge. Knowledge has reached them, and clarity has reached them, and the narrations have reached them. And then they boldly and stubbornly oppose those narrations upon knowledge, or they oppose the apparent and the clear Quran upon knowledge. Then the Salaf, they would deal with these type of people harshly. So this is from the benefits of this. And from the first of those benefits is that it's an obligation and it's incumbent upon every Muslim to have noble and upright manners and respect with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that he will not oppose it whatsoever, not in his speech or not with his opinion, and not with the opinion of the people and the likes like this. And that if ever something appeared to him that was contrary to what has found in the narrations, then he should present that issue in the best manner and with honor and respect, showing respect and veneration to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and not blatantly opposing it, or not even apparently, even if he did not intend that. So therefore, one must have manners with the sunnah. One must show respect to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, from this portion of the narration, we see that the people of knowledge, they will discipline the students. They will discipline the people in general. And if an individual, he says something that is not befitting, he will be disciplined and he will be corrected. he will be disciplined and he will be corrected. The origin in this affair is that that one will be disciplined and corrected in the best manner. And this is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with mercy and kindness. And many examples in his sunnah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the people of ignorance would make a mistake, or they would perform an action that is incorrect or not proper. But the reason for that was because they did not know the proper ruling, or they did not have the proper guidance. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would teach them in the best manner. He would teach them in the best manner. But sometimes people who are in opposition, like the people of innovation, for example, they're the ones who are known for blatantly and openly and apparently opposing the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and opposing the evidences in the Quran and in the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These people, after it has been clarified to them and they have chosen their way, they will be dealt with harshly. They will be dealt with harshly. And this is from the way of the Salaf. The people who oppose the sunnah, after it's been made clear to them, they will be dealt with in a harsh manner. And this is the way of the Sahaba. And this is the way of the best generations and the ulama of al-hadith, that they will show respect to the sunnah, and they will show respect to the narrations, and they would honor it by complying to it and applying it and living by way of it and making it the regulation and making it the foundation that they would base their creed and their belief upon, and base their actions and their deed and their deen entirely upon the narrations and that which has come from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, showing veneration and love and respect for everything that has come from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and staying far away from opposing that outwardly or inwardly, and staying far away from having disrespect for that likewise, and not showing the proper manners and etiquettes with regards to the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are other examples of this issue, of dealing with the people who oppose the sunnah harshly. And likewise, we see that whenever this occurs, the people of knowledge, they make an excuse for the person of knowledge whenever he uses this manner. And he speaks in a manner that's not normal. It's not normal for Abdullah bin Umar to make seb. And to curse and to say and to call people bad names and the likes like this. And therefore the ulama, they excused him for this. Rather, what is known from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that to call a Muslim names is called fusuq. Sibab al-Muslimi fusuq wa qitaluhu kufrun. This is authentic on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the ulama, they did not apply this narration here to Abdullah ibn Umar and declare him to be fasiq. Iyadhan billah. But rather, they made an excuse for him. And his excuse is that his love for the sunnah and his defense for the hadith and his honor and respect for the deen, it was so high in his heart that whenever somebody opposed it blatantly like this, that he responded in the manner that he responded, and he responded with this harshness, and he had an excuse for that. And he is excused. And he is excused. So therefore, he would not be held accountable for his harshness in this situation. Rather, sometimes there will be situations where harshness is required. Where harshness is required, specifically dealing with the people of innovation that are upon clear innovation, and they're known for their innovation. They call to their innovation, and they're upon falsehood, and they defend their falsehood in this manner. Then these people, they will be dealt with harshly. Al-Imam Ibn Majah, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his Sunan, which is from the six books of Hadith, Sunan Ibn Majah, Ibn Majah al-Qazwini, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the years 273. In the beginning of Sunan Ibn Majah, he has a muqaddimah, an introduction, and it's very beneficial. Very beneficial about holding fast to the sunnah, about seeking knowledge and the virtue of knowledge and the virtue of the people of knowledge, and about honoring the sunnah and the likes like this. And from the chapter titles in that introduction, he says, Babu ta'zimi hadithi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa taghlidhi ala man aradahu. Just the title clarifies the position of the hadith with the people of knowledge. That this is the chapter he mentioned in the very beginning of his book, rahimahullah ta'ala, al-Imam ibn Majah, Muhammad ibn Yazid ibn Majah, Abu Abdullah, al-Imam al-Mufassir, rahimahullah ta'ala, babu ta'zimi hadithi Rasulullah. The chapter with regards to magnifying, venerating, and honoring the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa taghlidh ala man aradahu, and being harsh upon those who oppose it. That's the title of the chapter. In this chapter, he mentioned many narrations. From them, the narration we find here in Umdat al-Ahkam, the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar. But he says here, Babu ta'zimi hadithi Rasulillah, the chapter with regards to the venerating and honoring and respecting and showing high love and regard for the hadith, for the narrations of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning, this is incumbent, it's an obligation. What taghleel ala man a'radahu, and to be stern and harsh against those who oppose the narrations. Those who oppose the narrations. Ta'zimul hadith. Now, meaning that the person has ta'zim of the hadith, meaning that he shows great concern for the hadith, great care for the hadith. He loves the Prophet and he loves his narration, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he learns them and he knows them and he abides by them and he makes himself hold fast to them and he uses them as a means of guidance in his life. And whenever he hears them, he finds light in his heart and his soul becomes easy and light for him to deal with, and he's happy whenever he hears the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he loves to listen to the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would never be negligent with regards to benefiting from those narrations and living by way of them and applying them and basing one's creed and belief and conduct upon these narrations. That they would be harsh and stern. And the one who talked bad about the hadith, they'll be checked. The individual who talked bad about the hadith, in general, the first issue, he will be taunt. He will be taunt. And the truth will be clarified for him in a good manner. But if they continue, or if there are people who are known to be upon a way of deviation, and they're known to be from the people of Hizbiyah and the people of the different sects and the different groups, and they're callers from that, then they will be dealt with harshly. And they will be dealt with in a manner that is befitting for them. And because they have lowered the hadith and they have placed their intellects in front of that, and they have called to that and clarified that and made that their way, these people will be dealt with in a harsh manner, and the truth will be clarified to them directly, and they will be in a state of belittlement because of their situation with regards to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from the evidences of that, being that this is the way of the Sahaba, this hadith here, فَسَبَّهُ سَبًّا سَيِّئًا, and one wording, فَغَضِبَ عَلَيْهِ غَضَبًا شَدِيدًا, that Abdullah ibn Umar, he became very angry. He became very angry, and he spoke to him like this, سَبَّهُ سَبًّا سَيِّئًا, and he called him names in a bad manner. He called him names in a bad manner. Naam, and this is clear evidence of the methodology of the Sahaba. Likewise, Ibn Majah, in the same chapter, he mentioned many narrations. From them, another narration that is also likewise mutafiqun alayhi, and is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mughaffal, رضي الله عنه أنه كان جالسا إلى جنبه ابن أخ له فخذف فخذف فخذف, that Abdullah ibn Mughaffal, he is sitting with his nephew on his side, and his nephew made al-khadf. Al-khadf is whenever a person, he takes a rock and puts it in between his two pointer fingers and flicks it. We call them flicking rocks. Flicking rocks. He put a rock or a pebble or a small stone and take his two pointer fingers and put them in the middle of it, and then put pressure on it with one of his finger, with one finger on the other, and he'll flick the stone like this. Another way that they make the khadaf, bil kha dhal fa al khadaf, they take the stone and put it on his pointer finger and put it underneath his thumb and pull it back and flick it like this. This is called khadaf. So Abdullah ibn Mughaffal radiyallahu anhu, he was sitting, and one of his nephews, the son of his brother, is sitting along with him, and he did the khadaf. He flicked a stone. فَنَهَاهُ radiyallahu anhu. So he prohibited him. وَقَالَ إِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ نَهَا عَنْهُ. The verity of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, نَهَا عَنْهُ, he prohibited that. نَهَا عَنِ الْخَذِفِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited flicking stones. He told him. And then the first time he told him in a normal manner. The first time he told him, and he educated him, and he taught him, and he mentioned to him the ruling and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet, he said, وَقَالَ إِنَّهَا لَا تَصِيدُ صَيْدًا وَلَا تَنْكَأُ عَدُوًا وَلَا وَلَكِنَّهَا تَكْسِرُ السِّنَّ وَتَقْفَعُ الْعَيْنِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prohibited from flicking rocks. And he said, you can't hunt game with it, and you can't hunt with it, and you can't defend yourself or repel the enemy with it. And the only thing that this is going to do is break somebody's tooth or put out an eye. It's only going to break somebody's tooth or put out an eye, meaning that this is why you don't do it. You don't make khadaf. You don't take stones and flick them. You don't flick them. He's telling his nephew this. The Prophet ﷺ said, don't do that. He was doing something. He told him, the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said, don't do that. And then the Messenger ﷺ, he said, because you can't hunt with it. The only reason somebody would flick something or like this is to hunt with it or to defend themselves or fight the enemy. This flicking rocks doesn't do none of that. The only thing that flicking rocks does is going to break somebody's tooth. So when it chips somebody's tooth, it's going to put out somebody's eyes. So it's going to cause a problem. So then what happened? After he had informed his nephew of this, قَالَ فَعَادَ. So he started doing it again. The boy started doing it again. فَقَالَ أُحَدِّثُكَ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَهَى ثُمَّ تَخْذِفُ لَا أُكَلِّمُكَ أَبَدًا. He said, I'm narrating to you right now that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited that, and then you start flicking rocks again. Wallahi, I'll never talk to you again. Wallahi, I'll never talk to you again. I'll never speak to you again. نعم لا أكلمك أبدا لا أكلمك أبدا. I'll never speak to you again. And this is the position that the Sahaba they had with regards to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they would be stern about this. That this was not something to play with. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, don't do it. And then you know that he said, don't do it. And then a person does it anyways, they will become furious about this. Not because about that person, not because that person didn't listen to what he said, but rather because the hadith had reached him. And he showed disrespect for the narration, and he had no concern for the legislation and the commandments of Allah and the commandments of his messenger, and their hearts sallallahu alaihi wasallam were great, and they magnified Allah, and their reality was that, and that, or the reality of that, it was in their magnification of his deen and the magnification of his commandments and prohibitions, and the commandments of his messenger and prohibitions of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is something that would be heavy on them to teach somebody, and then they would blatantly, the Prophet said, allow them. Wallahi, we're not going to allow them. This is what Bilal said. And now this, his nephew here, the nephew Abdullah ibn Mughafil, he was told don't do it because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited. Then he did it anyways, like he had no care or concern for the hadith or for the prohibition that was mentioned by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would be stern upon that. And they would be stern upon that. There are other narrations likewise similar like this, and it's been narrated by Abu Qatada. He says, "Kunna inda Imran ibn Hussein." Imran ibn Hussein radiyallahu anhu said, "We were with Imran ibn Hussein one day fi rahdin. Fahaddathna Imran yawma idhin qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al ahya'u khayrun kullu." Imran ibn Hussein radiyallahu anhu, the noble companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sitting with a group of people one day, and he's narrating to them. And he told them, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, Al-haya khayrun kullu. Al-haya, all of it is good. Al-haya, chastity and modesty, shyness and bashfulness, it is all good. Everything about it is good. فَقَالَ Bashir ibn Ka'b. Bashir ibn Ka'b, he said, إِنَّ لَنَجِدُ فِي بَعْضِ الْكُتُبِ أَوِ الْحِكْمَةِ أَنَّ مِنْهُ سَكِينَةً وَوَقَارًا وَمِنْهُ ضَعْفًا. So now somebody who's sitting in his gathering, his name is Bashir ibn Ka'b, he said, but you're telling me the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that al-haya, all of it is good. He said, well, really, we found in some of the books or in some of the proverbs that from the haya there is tranquility and noble manners and honor and conduct, but also there is a part of it that is weakness. فَقَالَ فَغَضِبَ إِمْرَانَ حَتَّى أَحْمَرَتْ عَيْنَاهُ. At this time, Imran, he became so angry until his eyes became red. وَقَالَ أَلَا أُرَانِ أُحَدِّثُكَ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمُ وَتُعَارِضُهُ. He said, am I finding myself right now narrating to you from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then you oppose it?
وغضب عمران فما زلنا نقول إنه منا يا أبا نجيد إنه منا يا أبا نجيد إنه لا بأس به. And they had to calm him down. Imran, he became so angry, radiallahu anhu, that this man would oppose the hadith of the messenger after he is telling him this word, this hadith. He became so angry that the people around him had to calm him down, and they would say to him, and they continued saying to him, Abu Nujayd, and that was his kunya. He's from us. He's one of us. And meaning he's not a khariji. He's not from the khawarij. He's not from the mubtadi. This person, you know, he didn't mean it. He's not trying to oppose the sunnah. He's from us. He's one of us. La ba's bihi. No, he's from us. He's a good brother. Yani, that's what they mean like this. Trying to calm him down. He's not from the Khawarij. He's not from the deviant people. Yani, like this. But this is how the companions, they will become upset whenever the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is opposed. And he became upset until his eyes became red. Radiallahu anhu. Al-haya khayrun kullu. And this is to understand, and chastity is all good, everything about it, because this is what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he clarified. Al-haya, wal-haya min ad-deen, is from the, and it mean al-iman, from the greatest aspects of iman is to be bashful and shy. But what he's referring to, Bashir ibn Ka'b, is not actual haya. When somebody is a coward, and somebody is afraid to speak, and to get his right, and to take care of his right, not because he's shy, not because he's following this proper and good noble conduct and manner, but because he's a coward, because of fear inside of himself, inside of his soul, and he's afraid of the people. This is what he's referring to, but that's not called hayat. And the deen al-hayat is legislated. وَالْحَيَاءِ شُعْبَةُ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. So this is hayat is something that would carry an individual to stay away from the foul and lowly manners and conduct. And it would carry an individual to not fall into that which is impermissible. And it would carry an individual to perform that which is an obligatory upon him with regards to Allah, the rights of Allah and the rights of the people. This is hayat. It's all good. But as for being a coward, that's something else. And some people, maybe they would mix it up and say he's bashful or he's shy. But in reality, this is not haya, this is khawar wal jubin. This is khawar wal jubin in this manner. So in any case, we see that the position of the companions, they would defend the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would speak about that. And even sometimes, one of them will become angry and they will be harsh. Just as Ibn Majah, he mentioned in that chapter title, the evidence is clear with regards to that. And that the one who opposes the sunnah blatantly upon knowledge, he'll be dealt with harshly. He'll be dealt with harshly. But there's another benefit here likewise, and this is what is found in the narration here in Umdah that we're studying. And that is the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah, and how the ulama, they have excused him. فَسَبَّهُ سَبًّا سَيِّئًا. He cussed him out in a bad manner. He talked bad to him in a bad way. And his son, he said, I never heard him talk like that to him before. مَا سَمِعْتُهُ سَبَّهُ سَبًّا مِثْلَهُ قَطُّ. I never heard him curse him like this or cuss him out in this manner ever. But the ulama, they made an excuse for him. And they mentioned because of his ghira and because of his love and his honor for the sunnah that he's excused in this situation. And also we have from the benefits of the ulama and the statements of the ulama clarifying this, we have a statement of Abdul Latif ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Hassan ibn Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. Now this is the great grandson of al Imam al Mujaddid Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. Abdul Latif ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Hassan ibn Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. Hassan is the son of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Wahhab, and his grandson is Abdul Rahman ibn Hassan. And his great-grandson, Abdul Latif, and he has a family. Even after him, he came from a family, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah. He came from a family of scholars and people of knowledge, and left behind him a family of knowledge, rather a country. Allahu Akbar. Shaykh Abdul Latif, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, and this is found in Durar al-Saniya, Fir Ajwiba al-Najdiya, and it's volume number 8. And this is on page 370 and 371. He mentioned الرجل إن صدر منه بعض الخطأ في التعبير فلا ينبغي معارضة من انتصر لله ولكتابه وذب عن دينه وأغلظ في أمر الشرك والمشركين. He said here that if a man, talking about a person of knowledge, if a man makes a mistake, if a mistake came from him and his expression, the way that he's speaking, while he's defending the sunnah, then it's not proper for somebody to talk bad about him or to find fault with him while he is trying to aid Allah Azza wa Jalla's deen and to aid and support his book and to defend his deen. And if he became harsh in this affair, the affair of shirk and the polytheists and the likes like this, that he should be, what? If his statement comes from him, a statement that is not any incorrect, it's not proper, it's not befitting, he should not be held accountable. Because why? This statement came at a time whenever he's defending the Allah and he's defending the deen of Allah and he's defending the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against the people of falsehood. He mentioned many benefits, and from them he says, فَيَجِبُ حِمَايَةُ عِرْضِ مَنْ قَامَ لِلَّهِ. It's an obligation to preserve the honor of the one who stands up to defend the deen of Allah. فَيَجِبُ حِمَايَةُ عِرْضِ مَنْ قَامَ لِلَّهِ وَسَّأَ فِي نَسْرِ دِينِهِ الَّذِي شَرَعَهُ وَارْتَضَاهُ وَتَرَكَ الْإِلْتِفَاتِ إِلَى زَلَّاتِهِ. That it's an obligation to preserve the honor of the one who stands up to defend the deen of Allah, and the one who hastens to aid his religion and that which he has legislated and that which he's pleased with. وَيَجِبُ وَتَرَكُ الْإِلْتِفَاتِ إِلَى زَلَّاتِهِ, and to not look at his slips, and the slips in the wordings that he chose. والاعتراض على عباراته, and to find fault with his statements and the expressions that he used. فبحبط الله والغيرة لدينه ونصر كتابه ورسوله مرتبة عليا محبوبة لله مرضية. That loving Allah and having deep respect and honor for his deen and aiding his book and supporting his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a high, high, lofty rank that is beloved to Allah and pleasing. يُغْتَفَرُ فِيمَا فِيهَا الْعَظِيمُ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ. The one who reaches the status of defending for the sake of Allah, sincerely, not showing off, defending for the sake of Allah, and spreading the deen, hoping for the reward from Allah, and having love and veneration and honor for the religion of Allah, and standing firm upon that, that the one who reached this rank and status, that great things will be forgiven for him and pardoned for him from the sins for the one who reaches this position. So therefore, if he slips in his ibarah, or he slips in his wording that he mentions, and because of his anger at that time he's heated and refuting the falsehood and defending the truth, at that time he becomes heated, then he should be pardoned for those slips. He should be pardoned for those, especially if it's not known that he's like this. Just like it's mentioned by Abdullah, with the ulama, they mentioned by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, they didn't, none of them found fault with him, rather they defended him, and they mentioned that what he mentioned was out of ghira. And because what was apparent from his son is that he was opposing the sunnah. So he said that in defense of the sunnah, سَبَّهُ سَبًّا سَيِّئًا. And he's not known to be from the people who make sab. And he's not known to be anything but righteous and upright, and to be from those who love the sunnah and hold fast to the sunnah inwardly and outwardly. And then whenever he became angry at this time, how these words came out, he's not held accountable. He's not held accountable for that. يُكْتَفَرُ فِيهَا الْعَظِيمُ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ وَلَا يُنْظَرُ مَعَهَا إِلَى تِلْكَ الْاعْتِرَاضَاتِ الْوَاهِيَةِ ومناقشات التي نفت في عضد الداعي إلى الله والملتمس لرضاه وهبه كما قيل فالأمر السحر في جنب تلك الحسنات وما يدريك لعل الله اطلع على أهل بدر فقال اعملوا ما شئتم فقد غفرت لكم. And he mentioned that which has come with regards to the people of Badr, that Allah, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that Allah said about them, do as you like, verily Allah has forgiven you. And this is in reference to somebody who has done a great deed in defense of the deen of Allah azza wa jal, that his slips will be forgiven. That great, great, great deed of defending the sunnah, of aiding the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of venerating and honoring and defending and refuting the falsehood, defending the truth and refuting the falsehood, that status is not a status that many people reach. And those who reach it, many of their slips or their mistakes will be forgiven for them and will be pardoned for them, especially if they slipped in their wording or in their tongue in defense of the deen of Allah azza wa jal, in defense of the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then Sheikh Abdul Latif rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned وَلَمَّا قَالَ مُتَوَكِّلٌ لِبْنِ زِيَادٍ يَا ابْنَ فَاعِلَةٍ وَقَذَفَ أُمَّهُ قَالَ الْإِمَامُ أَحْمَدُ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ أَرْجُو اللَّهَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ لَهُ نَظْرًا إِلَى حُسْنِ قَصْدِهِ فِي نَصْرِ السُّنَّةِ وَقَمْعِ الْبِدْعَةِ. So we see here that Sheikh Abdul Latif rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, just like المتوكل. المتوكل, he was the Khalifa. المتوكل, he was the Khalifa. And before him, he was the Khalifa that came in the time of the fitna of the creation of the Quran. And the Khulafa before him, all of them, Wathiq and Al-Mu'tasim and the one before that, Al-Ma'mum, all of them, they were defending the people of innovation and they were killing, literally, killing the scholars of the Sunnah. And they were trying the people of the Sunnah. They were disrespecting the people of the Sunnah and the Hadith. And they were forcing the false statement that Al-Quran makhluq, they were forcing it on the people. Until Mutawakkil, he got the Khilafa. And then he raised the Sunnah. And he defended the people of Hadith, and he defended the Sunnah, and he took into account those people who were harming the people of Hadith, and he said to Ibn Zayyat, "Ya Ibn Fa'ila." Ibn Zayyat, he was from those people who were saying that the Quran is created, Al-Quran makhluq, and he was forcing the people to say it, and he was even hurting, harming people, and he had torture devices and the likes. This man, Ibn Zayyat, Mutawakkil told him and called him, "Ya Ibn Fa'ila." He said to him, you are the son of, oh son of Azaniya. And he called him by this name. And he called him by this name. And he made clear qadhaf. That's called qadhaf. When somebody makes an accusation of committing fornication. But he didn't make him, accuse him of fornication. Rather, he accused his mother of fornication. Qadhafa ummahu. The Khalifa Mutawakkil, he accused his mother of fornication, and this is a sib. He said that to him to belittle him and to speak bad about him as an individual, and he, in order to do that, because of his anger of the situation that had become with regards to the issue of claim that the Quran was created, and Mutawakkil, he called his mother this. He called his mother Azaniya. But what did Imam Ahmad say? Did he say, oh, he's a khadif, oh, he's going to be lashed, oh, he's... Imam Ahmad, he said, I hope that Allah will forgive him, looking to his good intention and his aid of the sunnah, and to stop the innovation. So we have examples like this, clearly in the books of hadith, and in the salaf, and even this person, he even went so far to actually clearly accuse a Muslim woman of fornication. But he did that out of his anger at the time in defense of the Sunnah and aid of the Prophet's Hadith sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the correct creed and belief. And what did the people of Hadith, the Imam of Ahl Sunnah, say about him? أَرْجُ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ لَهُ. So therefore we see that if the people of knowledge, although of course no doubt we would not be pleased that Mutawakkil rahimahullah ta'ala, he made that statement. That statement is not a good statement. That's a bad statement. We don't agree with that. But the fact that he said that statement, or if somebody cursed somebody out or called them bad names because they blatantly oppose the Sunnah, this is not something that is pleasing that we like. But if it happens, the person, he has an excuse. That's the position and that's the point. If it happens, that person, he has an excuse, especially if he's known to be upright. Especially if he's known to be upright, like Abdullah bin Umar. Here, we see his situation that he's not from the people who curse out the people. But rather, he became hot at that time, and he said what he said, and that was considered a slip on the tongue. And like that, here Mutawakkil, likewise, rahimahullah, he mentioned what he mentioned out of whenever he was hot because of a situation in defense of the Sunnah. And then, if the tongue slips in this manner, just as Sheikh Abdul Latif, he mentioned that. الرجل إن صدر منه بعض الخطأ في التعبير فلا ينبغي معارضته من انتصر لله ولكتابه وذب عن دينه وأغضاه في هذا الأمر. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.